And just gone 12 minutes past 2 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. It is time for Pippa's Planet. And this afternoon, we were looking and driving around and saying to ourselves, you know, in and around the urban areas of Cape Town, our rivers are probably the worst in the world. We get noted for flagship beaches. And if you just drive outside town, for instance, you go down to outside Worcester, there's that beautiful river tributary that sort of flows down the mountain with these waterfalls. If you go down to, you know, to Fredendal and Klaver and these places, outside of the city, go down to Sutherland, you'll cross so many rivers and streams that are actually running. And here we sit with, with this rivers. And in this urban area that is polluted, it is dirty, it just doesn't get clean. And we try to find out exactly where and how and who is responsible for this. So this afternoon we've got Siobhan Snyman, the creator and community member of Plastic Pollution Initiative. Welcome to the show, Siobhan.
Thank you, Zane. Thank you.
And Tony Brockhoven, the National Chairperson and Spokesperson for Beauty Without Cruelty. Welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
And later on, we'll be bringing in Mike Ryder, the founder at Friends of the Lisbeck River. Let's start off with this, Tony. My daughter, who's now old, very old. I'm not going to say how old because then I'll be giving my own age away. She was asked to clean a river about 30 years ago. Go down to the Lisbeck River, draw a sample, and see exactly how clean or how dirty the water is. And my little one, who's now 7 years old, went for a beach cleanup at Eden-on-the-Bay. And this gives me the indication that very little has changed over the space of about 30 years or 23 years. So what makes the Black River so important to us, and why are these rivers so important?
There are a couple of observations I'd like to make. Yes, the cleanup of rivers and beaches is an ongoing problem and has been done by civil society and various organizations over many years. But the difference also between 30 years ago and now is that we have so many more people in the urban areas, which is why that you mentioned the Hex River and those areas earlier. There are no people around there. There are no towns and industrial areas. And the reason that our rivers are so essential is that they are our lifeblood. Rivers and tributaries are absolutely essential, not only for humans, but also for our animal and our bird life, which is obviously where Beauty Without Cruelty comes in, because we are an animal-based or animal-focused organization. Now, so for example, the filth and the litter and the pollution that is in the Black River affects the Western Cape leopard toad, which, as we know, is seriously endangered.
Yeah.
It's the water hyacinth, for example, is an alien plant, an invasive plant that regenerates or doubles its growth pattern every 10 days. And so the whole thing is exponential. And the city, unfortunately, always waits until it's too late, then, when the rivers are completely clogged and at a standstill and going stagnant, before they start moving it. We have 200 bird species that flow along that live and breed along our rivers, including the Black River, which is an example of society gone crazy. Yeah. Because we started this last year. We did a big cleanup. And within 2 hours, we did it for Madiba Day. And the thing was, we were going to see if we could get 67 black bags filled in 67 minutes. Well, we got 70 bags. So it took a little bit longer than that. But unfortunately, the following day, the same amount of rubbish was there to be found
back
again.
In the river again.
And that was just one small area.
Just chat to us very, very quickly, because people don't seem to understand. They go out of the CBD or outside of the CBD, and they say, you know, look how these beautiful streams and rivers are flowing. But they don't understand that the urban rivers also need to flow. So talk us through the actual river system of the Black River.
It's a tributary of both the Salt River and the Lisbeck River, and so that it travels all the way. It actually comes up, it starts in Claremont, and then it winds its way underground. But we've also canalized. I'm not quite sure how you say it. We've made canals, okay, of the river in certain areas, which is also not great because there's so much cement there. You're not getting natural plant life and happening, which also helps contribute to the biodiversity. I mean, we've got a number of plant life that lives along the river, so that would include things like golden stars, orange gazanias, arum lilies, blue lilies, buttercups. I mean, when last have you ever seen a buttercup that's not in a garden? That is what should be along our riverbanks.
Yeah. Chatting this afternoon to Tony Brockhoven. She's the national chairperson and spokesperson of Beauty Without Cruelty. And also Siobhan Sneyman, the creator and community member for Plastic Pollution. Siobhan, you know, Cape Town, is the biodiversity is absolutely important. And it's essential for us in Cape Town, basically, to protect this. Because you know, tourists don't only just come to see Table Mountain. They come to experience Cape Town as a whole. So rivers are important for this biodiversity. Many of our rivers are polluted. You were chatting to me about that there is somehow a solution for this. And the Australians apparently have a project that they have in place.
Yes, and very much so. Because of the world's second largest crisis being plastic pollution, countries are actually banning plastic, as you might have seen all over the internet. And we found that some countries like Australia are installing permanent structures along the on the rivers, such as nets, so that we don't find people illegal dumping, which is what happens in along the rivers. From we see industrial waste going in there, medical waste. We see household waste flowing down the rivers. So it can be prevented.
Chatting to Siobhan Sneyman, of course, and Siobhan is the creator and community member of Plastic Pollution. One of the things that you see besides plastic and those, and are we building our residential spaces too close to the rivers and our industrial spaces?
Zane, with my limited knowledge, we've done a three-hour assessment to try and establish where the waste is coming from. So we found that along the southern suburbs, more often than not, it does come from the factory areas and also the informal settlements. There are too many people, backyard dwellers, sorry. Mm. There are lots of people living in one space. They don't have enough garbage disposal bins. They just throw it. What's the easiest? Throw it over the river.
And it was a scouting operation in April that alerted you to the fact of how urgent the situation is and to the amount of trash that was collecting at the mouth of the river specifically. Can any of you run me through what you saw, what you found?
See, yeah. Yes, sorry.
I think we've both got.
Just to add on to that story, which I drifted off. John from Oil Spill is has been taking out oil from the rivers, 15 million tons in his lifetime, rivers and factories. And he's told me, along with a few other people, that they've seen dead bodies, babies, we see syringes flowing out of the rivers onto the beaches. I mean, that's, our kids are swimming in these beaches. I don't have children, but I mean, for me, that's quite shocking to know that there are syringes along the beaches. Plastic a lot, sewage, there's chips packets. We have a lot of earbuds, which I think should just be banned.
Yeah.
Condoms.
Yes. But also unused condoms. I mean, still in the bag. Unused. So people are taking them and they're not using them.
Yeah. And just dumping them into the river.
And I think there is very definitely a mindset that says, well, I can dump it because it's creating work for somebody else.
Yes.
But surely logic at some point must sink in that if the rubbish and the pollution is still there a week, a month, 3 years down the line, that nobody's picking it up. One of the most important things I think that needs to be instituted, besides the fact that the city needs to actually not just come on board, but need to take this over, because this shouldn't be left to volunteers doing on a regular basis all the time, is education. Education around pollution, why it's not okay to just throw things out of your car window or as you're walking along the street. I have seen people will walk past a ZB bin Yeah. They'll walk past it and drop the paper right next to it. Yeah.
And the thing is, actually, the wind picks it up in Cape Town and dumps it in the river.
Absolutely.
Now, we're looking at approximately 70 big blacks of plastic entering the ocean from the Black River every day.
That's just the Black River.
That's just one river.
And approximately 259 bags from the Liesbeek River mouth. And we're talking about here every day. And a citizen in Muizenberg is removing about 160 big black bags from the river a month.
Exactly.
So this is ridiculous. So what prompted you to form a plastic pollution initiative and get in touch with other community groups?
Sure. Siobhan? Long story. I'm just a citizen. I really am not part of an organization. It's rewarding for me. Picking up plastic, just saying no, I don't need that piece of plastic that is going to be in my hand for 15 seconds or minutes, and then it'll be on the earth forever. Just saying no to that. So it started off with being a volunteer and asking organizations for funding to help me to put nets up along the rivers. I didn't get quite as far. I have a full-time job, but just doing a lot of research, and I found that all the people working along all the rivers, from Muizenberg to Elsieskraal, Pinelands River, the Friends of Liesbeek, I've met all of these people, great people, and they're just doing their bit. We do need the city's help. It's just becoming too much.
Yeah.
When a mattress comes through a net, it just breaks the net. You know what I mean?
Yes, I think this is the essential and this is the important thing, is that, there is the citizen part of it all and the citizen responsibility part of it all. But there should be sort of biodiversity plans in place with the city, and that the city should have these things in place. Yeah. And if they do have it in place, what are they doing? How do we preserve these rivers? How do we keep these rivers clean? We have a generation to follow us who don't believe in plastic straws. But should it just be the fact that the kids don't want plastic straws anymore? It should be a much larger than that.
Absolutely.
I'll come to you now, Tony. I just want to have a chat to Mike Ryder quickly. Mike, a very good afternoon to you and welcome to the show, Mike.
Thank you for having me.
Mike, you've been involved in river cleanups for several years now. So what changes in the Black River or other rivers have you seen in that particular time?
Oh, nothing very much. It just got worse. First of all, I'd just like to say for information that I was not the founder member of the Friends of Liesbeek. I don't have anything to do with those people. I believe they do a wonderful job, but I'm nothing to do with the Friends of Liesbeek, although I'd like to help them out if they ever need to.
Well, I think that's why we called you a concerned citizen, Mike.
Indeed. But sorry, your question again was?
The thing is, you've been involved in river cleanups for quite some time, and I believe that you personally put up sort of mesh nets that collects the trash. What have you seen over the years? It's probably gotten worse over the years than before it's going to get better.
It has. It just simply gets worse and worse and worse with every passing month. Unfortunately, it's more people, more plastic, more rubbish, more sewage, and it's only got a certain number of places it can go, and one of those just happens to be the canals and the rivers of Cape Town. And unfortunately, the powers that be seem to think that there's nothing much wrong with allowing these canals and rivers to be the conduit of taking this rubbish from the suburbs into the sea. There just seems to be no will to solve the problem. The problem is so overwhelming. It is so massive in Cape Town that it needs more than just a few volunteer groups. Whatever they do helps, and it is certainly not to be dismissed. But it needs a strategic approach. The state of the rivers and the canals is such that, A, they're not performing their function, which is to remove water from the land into the sea. Which, if they're not cleared and maintained, when we do have a rain event of some considerable effect, the whole of Cape Town will probably flood because that water's now got nowhere to go. Sandflay is now pretty much blocked by a massive sandbar. The water can't go anywhere else. So it's an immense problem, both from the litter and just from the mechanics of how the rivers should work.
And that's Mike Ryder joining us this afternoon. He's a concerned citizen. He has put up mesh nets. And as a matter of fact, he's a chemical engineer and he used to make plastic and knows exactly what the problem is with plastic. Gary from Montague Gardens is on the line. Why is the city not doing their job? Gary, good afternoon and welcome to the show.
Yes, hi there, Oliver. You know, if the Western Cape's run by the DA, how many times are surely some big noises in the DA have ridden over that bridge and seen the flamingos picking amongst tons of plastic? Is there no urgency to on their part, because they run the city, to take charge of the rivers and clean them up? But they rely on civilian people who aren't getting paid to do it. To sort the problem out, and I think it's a disgrace.
Yeah.
You should have Alan Windy in there explaining what he's going to do about it, because it's an ongoing thing. And every time I go over there and I see those flamingos, I think, you know, Jesus, man, it's crazy. It's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, that's Gary from Montague Gardens. And we had Alan Windy in here this morning, Gary. You should have phoned him then and spoken to her. But this comes to the point, Tony, isn't it? We're having a chat this afternoon about the urban rivers and why these urban rivers are not as healthy as they should be, and why this big threat of the urban rivers to the plant life and the animal life, and eventually to affecting us. And, as Mike said, these rivers have just become carriers for dirt and dust and rubbish into the sea and into the river. Tony, what are we going to do about this? How are we, everybody's contribution, Beauty Without Cruelty, as well as, our plastics initiative here, is 20% of the way there, 30% of the way there. But we need a bigger arm. We need a bigger stretch for this.
We need local government to get involved. And it doesn't matter who's in the driver's seat. It doesn't matter which political party it is. We need local government to get off their collective bottoms and knuckle down and create jobs. Here's a perfect opportunity for creating all those jobs that everybody's saying there aren't enough of, because there should be people along the riverside every single day. Besides the education and besides the nets that need to go up, we need to have education, as I said, but there need to be people at various parts of the river, on both sides, rivers plural, every single day doing clear-ups. We need to have those graders that clear the water hyacinth every single day. It doesn't help worrying about invasive species of plants and fish if they're going to end up dying because they're being poisoned to death because of the rubbish that's in the water. It affects our bird life. And there's a knock-on effect because, the birds are eating what is living in the water. The frogs are already in our Western Cape elephant toad is already in danger. And we're just adding a further burden to it. But then over and above that, all of that, both that toxic water and the waste goes into the sea.
Yeah.
Which we are trying to keep clean.
Straws are
the least of our concerns at the moment.
Yes, I think that the straws is the starting point of it all.
Absolutely.
Has to actually
create
sort of broaden more than that. I'll give you details of an event that's happening this coming Saturday, but it's just gone 2:30. And it's time for the latest eye with